The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
I imagine many of you have seen at this stage the videos of what happened at the Lidl store in Fortunestown in West Dublin last Friday evening. We'll get to that in a minute. But there's another story which caught our eye. The front page of the Irish Daily Mail today had a story about another dreadful incident which has gone largely unreported because there weren't camera phones there to record what was going on. Miriam Murray joins us. Good evening to you, Miriam.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
Very good. Miriam, you have a little boy, Ethan, who's what age?
He's 10.
Okay. And he goes to school where?
He goes to a special needs school in Navan called St. Dalton's.
What special needs does he have?
Well, Ethan was born obviously 10 weeks thereabouts after he was born, he was diagnosed with a form of epilepsy, which is pretty catastrophic form of infantile epilepsy. It causes developmental delays. So we sort of knew from early on that there was going to be issues. We just didn't know, you know, how he would be affected. It can be very varied. And then when he was 4, he got a diagnosis of autism. So, he's faced a lot of challenges. So he has ongoing epilepsy, obviously. He's autistic on the spectrum, and he has an intellectual disability.
He goes to special school.
That's right, yeah.
That's St. Alton's in Navan. So tell us what happened in that school on Saturday morning.
Yeah, they realised that there had been a break-in on Friday night at some point during the night. I think it was early morning, 3 a.m., something around that time. And there had been somebody got in through, there's a garage next door, had scaled a fence and got in through one of the windows of the school. And they had basically taken some of the electronic equipment, iPads, laptops, that some of the children use for whether it be a communication tool or learning aids. So about, I think, 4 or 5 items were taken.
But this is special equipment, isn't it? Very unique to each student's needs.
Exactly. Very specialised, customised for the individual who's using it. As I say, some children will be nonverbal, so they might use it for communication. Ethan, on the other hand, he's not nonverbal, but he, as I say, he has significant learning difficulties, and he, with his autism, he really struggles with learning. And we have found that visual aids and things that move on the screen really catch his attention, and he's much more prepared to sit and take notes and take things in. So from, you know, maybe about 2 years ago, we thought assistive technology might help. We went down that road, and as I say, we ended up with this tablet, which is customised for Ethan with very specialist software, which is really only useful to Ethan where he is at this given time in his learning. And it's not something you can just go in and buy off the shelf. It's, you know, it took quite a long time. It was a long process to get the software.
Yeah. How long is it going to take to replace it? Is it going to be possible to replace it?
I'm assuming it will, but I don't, to be honest, Matt, I don't actually know how long it will take. The school was closed today to do a bit of a clean-up, so I'll only be back in there tomorrow, and I'll get to speak with the Vice Principal, Karen, in relation to what happens now. I really have no idea what the process is. I'm not even sure if St. Alton's have dealt with anything like this in the past, so I don't know if they might have to look into it themselves as to what the process is. But, I mean, it took a long time to get it in the first instance. It was a year from beginning to end to get between getting, you know, the assessment done. The CRC were involved doing the assessment. They have an assistive technology unit, and they assessed Ethan's needs and what would be best suited for him. So by the time we had done the assessment, the report came back out. Then we had to go to the department, put in an application. You know, it's a really long, drawn-out process, and then we had to get training on it, and the teachers had to get training on the specific software. And then eventually we actually got the software. So it took a year from beginning to end. So obviously hoping we're not in a situation where we're facing that sort of a battle again.
Has the school ever had problems with break-ins before? I mean, I know a lot of schools do have problems and they take security arrangements, but it strikes me as particularly nasty that at a time when the country was in sort of lockdown, that somebody would have taken advantage of the fact that the Gardaí and others were so busy in helping it to go in the snow and break into the school to steal this equipment.
Yeah, I mean, Ethan has been going to St. Alton's now for 5 years, and in that time frame, I haven't known of any break-ins. It's not to say it hasn't happened, I just didn't hear, but, you know, I think I would have heard had there be something. Normally, you know, it's a small enough school insofar as there's a there's approximately 150-odd, 160 pupils, and they, you know, kids begin there at junior infant age and go right up to leaving cert age. So they do their whole schooling through in St. Alton's, and as I say, there's only about 160 children in the school, so you do tend to hear everything that's going on. It's quite close-knit. It's a lovely community feel to the school, even though it's not a specific community, because people come from far and wide within the region. Their children attend St. Alton's being a special school. You know, most people wouldn't have a special school down the road from them, so people are coming from Trim and Kells and Weir and Ratoats. There's people all over Meath.
Well, hopefully you'll get them back. Hopefully nobody will buy these laptops and iPads from people on the black market, and hopefully they won't be wiped clean as well of their software.
Absolutely.
Miriam Murray, thank you very much. I hope everything works out for you and for Ethan. And Nicola Tallant is with us as well, investigations editor of the Sunday World, because I think a lot of people over the weekend definitely had their attention caught by the activities in Fortunestown at the Lidl store. We've had a number of arrests. 9 people are facing charges, but is that the end of the investigation, Nicola? Because it would appear to many people who saw the video that there were a lot more than 9 people involved.
Absolutely. I mean, this is only really the start of the investigation, Matt, because there's an incident room set up now in Tallaght Garda Station, and they're going through what is going to be a very lengthy and difficult trawl of social media videos and CCTV. Obviously, visuals on those are going to be hampered by the bad weather conditions, etc. And it's just going to be one of those very lengthy criminal investigations that's going to cost a lot of money. This was absolutely opportunism at its very, very worst. And there's, you know, at least 30 people were involved in this incident there at Fortunestown.
Yeah, because has anyone been charged as yet in relation to the use of the digger to actually destroy the Lidl building?
Yeah, one man was charged in relation to, I don't know the exact phraseology of the charge, but for taking money anyway out of the safe thing. So presumably, you know, that would involve the use of the digger for criminal means. But the actual, you know, the digger has been taken for forensic examination again because of the weather conditions. That's going to be slightly hampered because everybody will have been suited and booted and gloved up to go out and do what they did. So, you know, whether or not they're going to get any forensics off, that'll be another question. But yeah, there was a good group of people, and actually, while it was an opportunistic thing, it was organised in a way. Like they certainly had time, because what happened was it sort of started, their first call started coming in about 4:30 about it, and they had access to the store at that stage and were looting it. But because of the conditions, the guards couldn't get near the area, and also there was other incidents going on at the same time that had to take precedence, because in the central store that was also being looted, there was people living in apartments upstairs. The guards were obviously operating with depleted numbers, those that couldn't get into work, and the conditions were just horrific there on the Friday afternoon. So they actually, the looters themselves, had good access to the store for quite a few hours, really, before the guards could actually get there.
Okay, now, and it seems as well they put up effectively roadblocks with the snow as well to stop the access as well for the Gardaí coming in.
They did, and then they attacked the first responders that got there and, you know, outnumbered them, so they had to pull back and wait till they got back up to go in. So, yeah, it was...
And these were adults. This wasn't the case of sort of bored teenagers doing this either. I mean, the people who have been charged, and we make no comment about them until such stage as they've gone through the judicial process, but they're all aged between, what is it, 24 and 47.
They were. And, you know, again, there was certainly... I mean, we can all see the videos and see what's going on, and there's not small children involved in that. They are all adults that were out there, and just people who took opportunities at a time when, you know, the rest of the country and that community itself was kind of, you know, I suppose banding together and trying to work together to overcome the conditions, the weather conditions, and helping out neighbours and all the rest of it. There was this pocket of people that decided to go out and, you know, do what they did.
Okay. And again, I'm sure the majority of people in the area are absolutely horrified and disgusted by what happened. There is, I suppose, an onus on people as well to provide information to the Gardaí if they have it now.
Well, absolutely, and that'll be interesting to see if that information comes in, because the reaction and all this is on social media. The reaction has been just this horror from with people within the area themselves, you know, and very much saying that, you know, you can't paint an entire community on the actions of a few, but there was quite a few, like really 30 is quite a lot, and that's really just an estimate, so there was probably more than that involved.
Yeah, and you would have to fear that there might be a degree of intimidation against people who might be willing to give evidence.
Well, I mean, I suppose if you want to, you know, stand up and be counted, and you don't want your community to be branded in such a way, I think people have to come forward and give, like they can. People, a lot of people would have, you know, video footage they were taking on their phones and all the rest of it. As I said to you, that some of it is going to be of poor quality. But at the same time, that's the kind of stuff the guards are looking for at the moment to try and piece this together.
Thank you very much, Nicola Tallant, Investigations Editor of the Irish Independent, or sorry, the Sunday World. And Miriam Murray, the piece we did with her, as one listener said, my heart is breaking listening to that lady. It's a shocking disgrace that there are such heartless thugs out there. As a parent of an autistic child, I know only too well about the importance of an iPad. Hope Ethan can get sorted with a new one. It's not just the iPad, it's the software specifically developed for him, which is also has been lost.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.